Okay, so this morning we had a shaila that came up in the shul. It comes up every so often, and there seemed to be a lot of confusion about what the halacha is, so that's why I want to discuss it. There was somebody who had yahrzeit this morning, and unfortunately due to a medical condition, he is not able to stand on his own. He's in a wheelchair, and he came to shul. It was a tremendous effort on his part to come to shul, and he wanted to get an aliyah. So there was a question about whether or not we can give an aliyah to somebody who is wheelchair-bound, and what the parameters of doing such a thing might be. So let's begin as follows. There are two possible issues that might come up with somebody who is wheelchair-bound. Issue number one is the fact that the person is sitting down when receiving the aliyah, obviously. That's issue number one, which we'll discuss. And issue number two is, even if somebody is allowed to sit down while getting the aliyah, in this case, since our bima is elevated nowadays, in most shuls the bima is on an elevated platform, so the person sitting on the wheelchair will not be able to see the words of the Sefer Torah. So does that present a problem as well? These are the two issues we'll discuss, and both of them were relevant this morning. So number one, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph, and the Mishnah says, HaKorei es HaMegillah, somebody who is reading the Megillah on Purim. Omed B'Yoshev, it says you're allowed to read the Megillah whether you're standing, whether you are sitting. Imratza Omed, Imratza Yoshev, if you want to stand while reading the Megillah, you can do so. If you want to sit while reading the Megillah, you can do that as well. Says the Gemara, that although this is the Halacha by Mikra Megillah, Masha'en ken ba'Torah. The Gemara says that when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, you're not allowed to do it however you want. You have to stand while reading from the Sefer Torah. Says Rashi, She'en korim ba'Torah b'tzibur miyushab. Person is not allowed to sit down while reading from the Sefer Torah in public. So the Yerushalmi in Megillah has a discussion. Why is it that a person has to stand while reading from the Sefer Torah? Is it because you have to show and display a respect for the Sefer Torah itself? Or is it because you have to display a sense of respect for the community, for the congregation that happens to be together, learning from the Sefer Torah? Says the Yerushalmi, the difference will be, what if I'm reading from a Sefer Torah on my own, not in the context of a tzibur? I want to learn Torah, so I open up a Sefer Torah, and I want to learn as best to my ability. I can concentrate much better sitting down. Do I have to stand up because that's what dictates Kavod HaTorah? Or do we say, no, the reason why you have to stand up here when you lean from a Sefer Torah is because of Kavod HaTzibur, not because of Kavod HaTorah. This is the question that the Yerushalmi has. And in the end, the Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion that it's because of Kavod HaTzibur. It's because we have to show respect for the Tzibur that we are representing. When I get the Aliyah, when I read from the Sefer Torah, I'm doing that on behalf of everyone else in the room, and therefore we assume that the best thing to do is to stand up out of Kavod to the Tzibur. That's what the Yerushalmi writes. Then the Yerushalmi goes further and says, where does this idea come from? Why does a person have to stand up when reading from the Sefer Torah? So the answer is, says the Yerushalmi, because when Moshe Rabbeinu was invited, so to speak, to learn Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Ve'ata po amodi madi. Moshe Rabbeinu was invited, come stand together with me, so to speak, that the Ribono Shel Olam himself was standing, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to stand with me as well as I transmit the Torah to you. So therefore we say, this is why a person is supposed to stand the same way Moshe Rabbeinu stood at the time that he learned the Torah from the Ribono Shel Olam as well. Second reason given in the Yerushalmi is because the Torah was given be'ema, be'yira, be'reses. My father always says everyone makes a mistake. They say bezeya. Zeya means sweat. And he said it's not right. It's bezeya. That a person should be mizazeya. A person should be afraid. A person should be in a sense of awe when they're learning the Torah. So therefore, when we learn the Torah in a public setting as well, we should have to stand up when we do so. So that's the basic premise that a person is supposed to stand. What when you have a situation like ours? Somebody comes for a yahrzeit. They happen not to be able to stand up to have the aliyah. Should we give them an aliyah or not? So the Magen Avraham surprisingly writes that there are some achronim that assume that this is even b'di'evit. Even in a shas hadchak, even b'di'evit, if a person mistakenly read from the Sefer Torah, let's say I live out somewhere and I don't have a rabbi and I don't know the halacha and I don't know that I'm supposed to be standing up when I read from the Sefer Torah. And somebody walks in the middle of laning and says, what are you doing? How come you're sitting down? Says the Magen Avraham, there are some achronim who say, very prominent achronim, there are some achronim who assume you have to go ahead and do the Kriyas HaTorah again. You weren't Yotzi the Kriyas HaTorah if you did it sitting down. However, the Magen Avraham says, in my opinion, Dafka lechatchila kabdinan, only lechatchila do we have such an insistence that a person has to stand up. However, b'di'evet, he says, a person can fulfill the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah b'di'evet while sitting down. And this is the approach that is adopted by the Mishnah Berurah as well. The more lenient approach that we say, lechatchila, you're supposed to stand up when getting the aliyah or when you are the Balkore. However, If a person is in a shas adchak or a bidyevit situation, so then we say that one is allowed to read from the Torah even sitting down. So that's the basic principle, and I think it would be understood that a person who comes to shul and they have yahrzeit or they have some simcha in the family and they want to get an aliyah that day, not just that we give an aliyah to people sitting down for no reason, we give it because there is a reason why we give them an aliyah. So in a situation like that, we would assume that that's enough of a shas adchak, that's enough of a bidyevit to say we would have every right to give an aliyah to such a person, even though they are sitting down and they're not following what the Gemara says the chatchila should be done. But this is a case of bidyevit, and therefore we would allow for such a thing. Now, something to keep in mind is that the Shulchan Aruch assumes as well that when we say that something requires amida, when we say that a mitzvah requires that I stand, it means that I don't do smicha, that I don't lean. So very often you see people get an aliyah, and let's say they get a long aliyah, so they go and they're leaning on the bima, they're not standing up straight. Says the Mishnah Brura, quoting many earlier sources, that if a person leans to the point that had you taken away that thing that they're leaning on, the table or the bima, they would fall down, that's called sitting down, that's not called standing up. So we have to be careful about that. Again, you want to lean one arm and it's not really supporting your whole weight, that's fine. But when a person goes and leans their whole weight on the bima, to the point that if you would remove the bima, they would fall down, that's not called standing up, and therefore we have to be careful about that as well. Therefore, says the Mishnah Brura, if you have a baal basar, if you have somebody who is very overweight and cannot balance their own weight on their own, let's say they normally walk with a cane or whatever it might be, when they come up to the aliyah, they lean all of their weight on the bima. There again, says the Mishnah Brura, l'chatchila it shouldn't be done, but when you have somebody who has yahrzeit, when you have somebody who needs to take the aliyah and cannot stand on their own, certainly we would allow for that to be done. We would allow a person to get the aliyah if there was an extenuating circumstance, which we assume a yahrzeit is an extenuating circumstance. So this morning what they wanted to do was, so this person was on the wheelchair, and they wanted to have that when they get the aliyah, the person should sit down on the floor and say the bracha from down there, and the baal korah will be on top. So I thought that was certainly not okay. As we'll see in a minute, that's certainly not acceptable. However, the next idea was, well, if you say that he should really be looking at the Sefer Torah, so the next idea that was raised was, why don't we put a table down on the regular level of the shul, and today we'll do Kriyas HaTorah not on the bima, we'll do Kriyas HaTorah for all three aliyahs down on the table. So I thought again, that's not covered to the Sefer Torah either. If you want to go out of your way and bring the wheelchair up and have the person sit by the Torah is one thing. But to take the Sefer Torah down to the person, again, it's something, unless we have a very extenuating circumstance, that's something that perhaps we would try to refrain from. So that was the major question this morning about having the person who's sitting down be the one called up as the Olah LaTorah. What about everyone else in the congregation? What about anybody else's obligation? Do we as a tzibur have to stand up when the Torah is being read from, or is it only the person who's getting the Aliyah and the Baal Korah, but everybody else has a right to sit? So the Mishnah Brura writes, number one, quoting from the Magen Avraham, that the only time you have to stand up when a Sefer Torah is out of the Aron Kodesh is when the Sefer Torah is holech mimakom lemakom, when the Sefer Torah is moving, when it's in motion. However, when the Sefer Torah is stationary, for example, many people have a misconception. They think when we do Yizkor for an Aliyas HaNeshama, when we say Akel Male, they think, oh, we have to stand up because now the Sefer Torah is standing up. No, says the Mishnah Brura, there's no reason to stand up. The Sefer Torah is not in motion. The Sefer Torah is stationary. In a case like that, you don't have to stand up. The only time one has to stand is when the Sefer Torah is moving around the shul and it's not in one place. So that would dictate that when a person hears the Kriyas HaTorah and the Sefer Torah is not in motion at that time, it's sitting on the bima, resting peacefully, in a case like that, one really would not have an obligation to stand up at all. However, the Ramah quotes Yesh Machmirim, he quotes a Maharam, quoting a Tashbetz, that there are some who are machmir to stand up out of Kavod HaTorah. Again, you're not really obligated to do it, it's a chumrah, it's a hiddur, that even if you're just an innocent bystander in the shul who's listening to Kriyas HaTorah, and you happen not to be the Gabbai, and you happen not to be the Baal Korah, and you happen not to be the Olah LaTorah, still the Ramah says some have a practice that they're machmir to show an extra Kavod HaTorah to stand up, even though they're not obligated to do so. So that's a discussion with regard to that. However, says the Mishnah Brura, in my opinion, he says, quoting a Radvaz, it would make sense that even at the very least, if you're not going to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, which many have the practice not to, and that's totally justified, that's fine. However, says the Mishnah Brura, you should at least stand up for Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMevorach, because that is a Davar Shebikdusha. The same way we stand up for Baruch Hu when we say it during davening, so too one should stand up when the Olah LaTorah says Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMevorach. So that's with regard to the first issue about sitting down or standing during Kriyas HaTorah. What about the second issue? Let's say we figure out how to get the wheelchair up onto the bima, And we don't bring the Sefer Torah to the person, we bring the person to the Sefer Torah. So now the person is up there. The problem is we have elevated bimas nowadays, and the person on the wheelchair, unfortunately, is often not able to see the writing in the Sefer Torah. They're not able to see what it is that's being read. So does that pose a problem as well? Or do we say no? As long as the Baal Korah is able to read, why do I have to say the words along? So I remember in the White Shul, the practice that they had was, whenever they had somebody in a wheelchair who had to get an aliyah, so they would, the Baal Korah would take the Sefer Torah and lean it off of the bima a little bit so that it's on an angle and the person is able to see it. So that was a very nice thing to do. But the question is that an obligation? Is that something you have to do or not? So the truth is, that's a very complicated story as well. We have a practice, and it's a principle that we apply to all mitzvahs, basically, almost all mitzvahs in the Torah, and that is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, of Shomea Ka'ona. That if I hear somebody else reciting the words, it's good enough for me. So Kiddush on Friday night, we rely on Shomea Ka'ona. And Havdalah, we rely on Shomea Ka'ona. One person makes Kiddush, everybody listens. One person makes Havdalah, everybody listens along. Over here, all of a sudden, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, the Rush writes, both in his commentary in the back of the Gemara, as well as in his Tshuva, the Rush writes, when it comes to reading from a Sefer Torah, you have to read along Bilachash. The person who gets the Aliyah has to say the words along with the Baal Korah. Kidei shelo tehei brachasa levatala, says the Rush. If you get the Aliyah and you don't say the words along with the Baal Korah, your bracha of Baruchos Hashem HaMavarach and the Birchos HaTorah is considered a bracha levatala. Why should that be the case? Why should that be the case? How come I shouldn't say Shomea Ka'ona applies here the same way it applies everywhere else? I make the bracha, and then the Baal Korah reads along for me. I listen, I have a mind to be Yotzei, just like the whole congregation has a mind to be Yotzei. Why shouldn't Shomea Ka'ona work here? That's a major problem that the Taz discusses, the Pichadash. Rav Soloveitchik spent a lot of time trying to explain it as well, and he didn't come up with a satisfactory answer. Why is this true? Why should we assume that all of a sudden when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, all of a sudden, Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work? But be it as it may, that's generally the assumption that we have, that the person who gets the Aliyah is supposed to read along with the Chazan Belacha. She's supposed to say along with the Baal Korah in an undertone, not to confuse people. But that is what's supposed to be done. And that's what the Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe as well. He feels that a person, L'chatchila, has to be able to read along with the Chazan, with the Baal Korah, in order to receive an Aliyah. However, surprisingly, so when you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch discusses what happens when you have somebody who's blind. Let's say somebody who's blind comes to shul, somebody cannot see the words in the Sefer Torah, they left the glasses at home, whatever it might be, and they have yahrzeit today. So what am I supposed to do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, absolutely not. Suma eino karei b'Torah. A person who's not able to see and read the words from the Sefer Torah cannot accept an aliyah. Says the Mechaber, l'fi she'aser likra afilu os'acha shalom en aksav. Because you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah Baal Peh, you have to say it from the words itself. And since the Rush writes over here that you have to say the words along with the Baal Korah, therefore a Suma is disqualified from getting an Aliyah. However, surprisingly, the Rama writes that although the Shulchan Aruch seems to be correct and he's following the opinion of the Rush, the Rama says no. Achshav Nagu, the Rama quotes the Maharil, one of his Rabbeim, that now we have the practice in our communities that a person who is blind is able to get an Aliyah. And not only that, says the Rama in Amma Eretz as well. Not everybody knows how to read the words of the Sefer Torah without Nekudas. Many people back in Poland didn't know how to read at all. Many people in our generation don't know how to read from a Sefer Torah on their own. So therefore, says the Rama, we have the practice that we allow for a person who is blind or for a person who doesn't know how to read the words, but a person who's able to say them along with the Baal Korah, that's good enough. And therefore, we allow that person to accept an Aliyah. We don't hold them back. Again, this should only be done in a Shas HaDchak. We don't just allow it off the bat for no good reason. We allow it in a Shas HaDchak. We allow it in extenuating circumstances, such as a yahrzeit or something of that nature. We would allow a person to get an Aliyah. So I saw something fascinating. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef writes about his father, that he remembers as a young child that every Monday and Thursday, I guess his father was the Baal Korah or the Gabbai, whatever the story was, and he said he remembers his father used to give an aliyah to some blind person in the community who had yahrzeit. He would give him an aliyah every year whenever he had yahrzeit for his father, for his mother, or a simcha. He would give him an aliyah, no problem. And he assumed that his father was meikel like the Rama. Then he says, later on in my life, my father printed his Tshuvas Yabia Omer. Again, that was much later in his life. And very later on in his life, his father printed his last volume of Yabia Omer, which is Chelek Tes, where Rabbi Avadia Yosef writes that he changed his opinion. He said, maybe that was only when I was living in Egypt, and that was the practice in Egypt, that they all used to give aliyahs to people who couldn't see from the Torah, who couldn't read on their own. However, nowadays, he writes, when I live in Eretz Yisrael, And in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Avadi Yosef argued that everybody, all the Svardim at least, have to follow the Psukim of the Shulchan Aruch. He cannot follow others. Therefore, he said the Shulchan Aruch, strict reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that you have to be able to see and read from the Sefer Torah, and therefore he changed his opinion. He said, no longer would I allow, now that I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, no longer would I allow a person to read from the Sefer Torah, again, to get an aliyah if they cannot read on their own. That's what Rabbi Avadi Yosef wrote in his later years, in the last chelik of Yabia Omer, chelik Tes, and he said that now he changes his opinion, he feels you're not allowed to take the aliyah. So Lemaisa Ashkenazim certainly follow the practice of the Ramah, that whenever you have extenuating circumstances, the person is able to accept an aliyah, even if they unfortunately are not able to read from the Sefer Torah because they're blind, or for the example we gave this morning, when you have somebody who is in a wheelchair and the bima is elevated and they cannot read the words, so we assume they're able to get the aliyah anyway, b'shas adchak, even though they're not able to see the words on their own. Lemaisa, what happened this morning was the person was overly gracious and said, look, I don't want to make a scene, I don't want to make a whole big deal. He decided to give his son the aliyah instead of him. Even though he had a yard site for his mother, he decided to give his son, which was the grandson of the Nefteris, the aliyah. So I told him he shouldn't feel bad, it was a right decision, because, again, some people get very touchy about this, but over here there is a major shaila about both of these issues. Number one, about not being able to read from the ksav. Number two, about sitting down during Kriyas HaTorah. Half of the Acharonim say that even with the evidence ma'akev. But I know that my father, anytime he has yartzeit, he always tells us that he doesn't know how to daven for the Yamid, and he always says, it's a bigger schus for my mother that my children should daven for the Yamid. They know how to daven, so whenever he has yartzeit, he always asks all of us, his boys, to daven for the Yamid. He says that's the same schus. The same schus that it would be for his mother, for him to daven, is for his children to daven as well. So my father told me today as well, he thought the same schus that a person gets when they daven for the Yamid or take the Aliyah on the day that they have yartzeit is the schus that they get if their child takes it as well. So that was obviously one very nice, easy way around the problem this morning. Again, most people, I don't know, would be so forthcoming and would be allowing themselves not to take the Aliyah, but that's the basic halacha with regard to this shayla we had this morning. Reb Chananya ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch,